Okay, we're a little behind schedule here on Gel. We dropped the ball. It's been a crazy month for us here. But we are doing the whole show annual bracket challenge again this year. The Hooligans have spoken. Yeah, I know. Susan and Cheryl, they're happy. They've been upset that we haven't got this going. So we're going to start loading this up now because we don't got a lot of time. We do it through CBS Sports. My guy Tanner Schwinn is working on prizes and all that. I think we're going to get at least a foursome from the Eaton Country Club on this year, and maybe some other items that we're going to add for the winner. So this is a pretty sweet deal, plus bragging rights. Angel, every year we've done this, I finish in the top three. So I don't mean to brag, but I'm pretty good when it comes to guessing who is going to win the most games and such. So if you guys think you can beat the host, if you think you can beat me, who I have won it before, by the way, but I can't win the prize. So that's just to let you know, I can't win the prize. The glory and the fame is enough for me. So we're going to be taking people today. Throughout the day, we're going to be doing it throughout the next couple of weeks, but what I'm going to need when I ask for you to text or ask for you to call, whatever, I need your email address. Angel's going to write it down, and then we're going to get you in. We'll send it out because we do it through CBS Sports, so you'll be looking out for that email. And if you don't get one, you got to keep contacting us to let us know. So we're going to do that throughout the day today. Let's just get the text line rolling. First texter to text in. Well, I don't want to make it like a lot of words here. Do we want to do trivia or do we just want to say caller text number two? Or
madness.
Text in madness. First texter. First five texters to text in madness. You'll be in. Enter your email address. Make sure you put your email address down, and then we'll get you in. 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. The first five texters in this segment to text in madness are going to get in. From the 970, looks like you are getting second place this year. Well, you got to text madness, 970. You've already not followed the first rule, which is that, to text in the word madness, and then you got to text your email. 970, you're in right now, if you get it. But we're winning this thing. Angel, you're going to be in on it. We'll get you in.
Oh, yes.
We got to get you. Holyoke's in. There we go. Holyoke's in. He said madness. He's got his email there, so we're going to jot that down, and we're going to get this thing going again. It's going to be fantastic. I just got to make sure that we're signed up again. But we're very excited about this because there's a lot of trash talk that goes into this. And, I mean, it's fun. I'm activating the pool right now. Activating the pool. I got to just log in. Whole show bracket challenge. Logging in. And we are in. Yes. It's done. So we got a lot of people that are still registered from last year. But we have to re-register you. So I want you in. First five to text madness to the text line. Dixon's in. There you go. Put your email in, Dixon, because I can't remember it. Dixon's won enough of our stuff where we should just have all of his information on file. But put the email there. So we've got you in. Good job. Good job, everybody. Uncle. Is that you? That's you, Uncle. Okay, you're in. But text madness. Getting the Hooligans to follow simple commands.
Well, you're giving them a lot at once, Brady.
Yeah, text first off, text have line. The text line. Second off, text in madness.
MADNESS. All caps, low caps. Doesn't matter. You could do upper, lowercase letters alternating. Madness.
Madness. Uncle says, does Angel play too?
Of course.
Uncle has it out for you because he hates the Dolphins. He just hates them.
Well, I mean, when your team is the number one overall seed, you kind of have to play.
Yeah, you got to play. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Your team
is. I
will
be unbearable if they end up winning.
Just no pregame rituals.
We're not
okay?
A basketball school.
Yeah, Bama's been becoming one over the
last
couple
five,
of seasons,
years,
man.
Yeah.
Uncle did. He's in. Okay. I didn't see that he actually texts Madness, but maybe our text line's not picking it up, to be fair. So we'll give you that. You're in. Text your email. Now text your, now text your email. 888-530-0043. We want a lot of people in on this. Dixon's got his email in. Good job, guys. Good job. We'll be doing this throughout the day. We'll be doing this tomorrow as well. We want you in. There's going to be chances to win prizes, but mainly glory. And you will all, of course, lose to me. It will be fantastic. I mean, again, I finish in the top three every single year. That's easy. And then, okay, Dixon wants to know who ends up on the roof. We used to do this. We didn't do it last year, and Dixon holds us accountable to this. Now, a producer before you, Angel, old Cole Facsimilian, lost to me. We had a bet between the two of us. Whoever lost had to sit on the roof during the show. Back then, it was a two-hour show. And you had to hold up a sign, which is actually still in Cole's office, that says, I lost the whole show bracket challenge. So you had to hold it up. Now, I can't give you guys this information. All I'm going to say is the roof that we have right now will not be the same roof that we have in a month. Is that a hint for everybody?
I think so.
Basically, if you know where we are now, you're going to need to learn where we will be.
Is it not accessible or just more dangerous?
No. Well, this one? I don't know if we're going to be able to do that kind of stuff anymore, where we're going.
It's a little more reputable. It's more than one story building.
Right. You might not want to get up there.
Liability reasons. Right. You can't really do that.
Maybe just stand out on the side of the road.
It's a highway there, or kind of a popular road.
Yeah, that would be good marketing for us.
A lot of traffic.
I lost the whole show challenge.
Hey, what? Oh, goodness. I got work to do.
You got work. Weld County Swami's in. So you're saying I won't get last this year? Oh, there's already the trash talk. He's already coming at you, Angel. Dude, you're.
I think it was Cody Wilson that was last year.
Was he overall last?
I think within our kind of little crew here.
Oh, okay. Of the group. Well, I know a KFK crew is going to be in. Stickman texting in. 2 years ago, I know I didn't lose to Brady. I would like in as well. There is his. No one's texting Madness, though. Like, the first rule of Fight Club in this scenario is to
I will not write your name down if Madness is not texted
you're
in.
No one's texting Madness. A couple of you are. Eastside Chris is. Dude, Eastside Chris has it down.
Uncle, I still need an email from you. I love the interaction, but we need an email.
We need the email, Unc.
An email that you're actually going to respond to.
I like that nickname, by the way. Unc needs to text the line in and say, I don't know. There's a way to get your, so we can save you in the database. I don't know. We used to be able to do that. We can still do that, but we save your name, so you're always that person. Always just sign your emails with what your nickname is. Because I don't want to call people 970.
You're giving them more instructions.
I know.
Than they can handle.
That's a lot of stuff, man. That's a lot. But I don't like calling our texters 970 and 303. We like nicknames. And if you're a real hooligan, you have a nickname. Those are the rules. Okay, Stickman's in. Unc, we're waiting on you. We easily got our first five. I think we have more than that now. So, you know what? Tell you what. I'm feeling good today. So, just keep texting. He said I did. Something's either wrong with our text line or
we're getting every other message.
We're getting all of your messages, Unc. I'm getting looks like you're getting second place this year. What about Uncle? Does Angel play too? I did. So are you saying I won't get last this year? I did. Can't neither of you read today? We're getting all of those, but for some reason the email is not coming in. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe it's that. Maybe Angel's sabotaging you. Maybe he's deleting your email every time you text that in before I can look at the text line. Maybe Angel is deleting it. I don't know. It could be a conspiracy theory.
I would never do anything like that. I don't even have access to this so-called text line.
Well, I came in here. The studio monitor was turned on its, like, the screen. Okay, the monitor's upright and everything. But for some reason, when Bruce was doing the show for Coach Speak, it was, you know how like when you flip your iPhone around and it moves the screen and the image or whatever, the home screen?
It's doing that orientation.
There you go, the orientation. So the orientation is whatever that is. It's on the side now. Unc says, I have sent it 2 times. Dude, it's just like for whatever reason, the email's not coming in. Unc, Call now. Call 970-353-1310. Give Angel your email. We'll make it simple. Do that. Eastside Chris, is Uncle still at the Den? Maybe. That could be it. Maybe you're not texting us. You're texting somebody else, and now some random person is getting your email. I don't know. Not sure how this is going to play out. Maybe it's the Eaton moms clogging up the text line. That could also be a case. That could be something that's going on as well.
Love Eastside Chris. I won't read his full email, but it's at AOL.com.
You got an AOL email?
Wow.
Oh,
that is a little dated.
That's an old email, Eastside Chris. But hey, it gets the job done. You probably get your emails. So, you know, I'm not one to judge. If I didn't have a KFK email, I'd probably still have Hotmail.
Whoa.
That's pretty old. I think I do have a Hotmail.
I think
Hotmail.
My mom still has a Hotmail.
Well, you still get your mail. Is it just not cool to say, hey, Brady at Hotmail.com?
No, that not cool? A lot of Gmails. Google's taking
Gmail's
over.
Gmail's definitely, what, like Yahoo? That's a big one.
That's what I have.
I have a Yahoo one as well. I have a bunch of emails. Can't access any of them.
They're all for
my passwords.
Different streaming service free trials.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Just change a number and set up all these
gambling sites, and just as a new customer, and then I get a free bet or whatever. That's what it is. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. We're going to be registering people throughout the day today, so get in the mix. It is March Madness bracket challenge time, whole show style, and the glory. And the fame, everything that happens to you from that point on, if you win this thing, things will change for you. Life will just get better somehow, some way. So I'm gonna take them throughout the day. So just shoot us a text. But you got to put Madness on there. That's what Angel said. He said put Madness in the text line and you'll get in. I'm not even going to do first five anymore because we blew past that. And we're getting them as they come in. Just make sure you're texting Madness on that to get in. 888-530-0043. Angel, let's get to the good and the bad and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online, fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, okay, I know the Avs lost, but I hunkered down to watch this whole game because I had Kyle Fredrickson on yesterday. I was getting excited. I am what you would call, like, diehard basketball fan, but I'm definitely the hockey fan, the Avs fan, that really starts to get into it now, where I'm going to sit down and actually watch full games. Not to say I'm not following them, but I'm going to watch full games. And I picked a bad one to watch. Now, New Jersey goes up 3-0, but the Avs score, that was the good for me. The Avs score with, like, 15 seconds left in the first, so you're thinking, man, okay, that was a no-no. You can't give up a goal with 15 seconds. It's very rare that that happens. And then the Avs came back. You know, New Jersey scored 3 in the second, but so did the Avs quickly. Made it an interesting game, but ultimately the bad is the loss. They lose 7-5 to New Jersey, although New Jersey is smoking, man. They are on fire right now. Makes sense because they're the Devils. They've been winning a lot of games, so that was a tough battle for the Avs. The ugly for me is just kind of piggybacking off of our discussion yesterday about Kendrick Perkins and where he's taken this debate. My guy Chris Dempsey did a really good short video he put up on Instagram last night talking about how this is kind of going into different territory, almost dangerous territory now. It's fun to debate. It's fun to debate who you think the MVP is, who you think the GOAT is, why Lamar Jackson is the most electrifying man in all of sports. Those kind of things are fun. Kendrick Perkins has taken the fun out of this thing now because he's trying to make it a race thing. And I'm not saying that sometimes race things don't happen in sports. They do, they did, they probably still will. But in this case, especially in the NBA, that is not even close to the truth. Debate me all day about percentages and rebound numbers and blocks and just overall ability. That's fine. I'll take that. We can go with that. I'll at least go with you. But don't come at me with this stuff. Kendrick Perkins has taken it to a really bad spot. And I don't know that that kind of stuff changes because obviously it's getting attention. And this is what the networks really, really want.
Well, it's the narrative of the week and the story of the week for them in the NBA, and it's all going to lead up to tomorrow night on their network for Nuggets Grizzlies.
Well, you know he's going to watch now. I think he's going to be invested because you know why?
He better watch.
He's going to try to make his case. So now he's going to watch the game hoping that Nikola Jokic fails. That's what he's going to be doing.
Is he going to suddenly change ethnicity too?
Maybe. Maybe that'll be what'll suffice for him with what Nikola Jokic does, because it's a terrible thing. Angel, you were probably in diapers when I first got on the internet thing, is what he said. Chris says.
I remember AOL.
Yeah, the dial-up and all that stuff.
I have very vague images of it in my brain, but I remember it.
I think our first computer ever was the Gateway 2000. The Gateway to... I mean, we were farm people. So computers to us were like, what? What is this?
Yeah, I mean,
this?
I remember the days where you had a separate computer room in your house.
We
and
did.
It was the one computer that the entire family would have to use, and you'd have to fight with your siblings to who got to get on there and play games.
Played Age of Empires on there all the time.
Wow.
Lost a lot of hours on there. And then MSN text, MSN Messenger. I mean, that was the best thing ever. You see that you get an MSN notification that a girl you like or whatever messaging you, and you're like, whoa, this is awesome. I want to get home so I can get on MSN Messenger. I remember when I first got my first text. I was in high school. First text, and I'm like, what the hell is this? There's a message. It was a girl. And I didn't reply. I didn't see it until like 3 weeks later. And I'm like, what? I have a note. I started learning more about the phone, and I click it, and it's a flip phone and all that stuff. And I clicked the little, it was the little letter, you know, the text message used to look like a little
envelope,
letter.
Yeah.
Little envelope. Click that. It's like, hey, are you up? What are you doing? And I'm like, I am. Yes, I am. What's going on?
Hello?
Hello? Please?
Can you hear me now?
No response, because that was like 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, son of a... Well, now I got to pay it. And that's how it started. From that point on, you're looking at text constantly, waiting to see who's going to be texting you. 22 minutes after 11 o'clock. Let's take a short break. We got a big one today. We got Kevin Lytle going to join us in the 12 o'clock or in the 1 o'clock hour. My guy Zach Stevens will be talking Broncos. And we're bringing on one of my favorites today. Assistant Denver Nuggets coach Popeye Jones will be joining the show. Talk to him. Well, Popeye's so interesting. His kiddos, of course, both of his children play for the Chicago Blackhawks. So how are they feeling after some interesting trades kind of rocked their roster yesterday? So we'll talk a little hockey with Popeye as well. But more importantly, we'll talk basketball. We'll talk to Nikola Jokic and this final stretch here, this 19-game stretch for the Nuggets and what they have to do to make sure they put themselves in the best spot when it comes to the NBA playoffs. It's the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. We're getting you in today. The whole show annual bracket challenge is fired up. I have officially opened it up. We're good to go. We want you in, but you got to text in the word madness, and we'll get you, along with the email. And apparently, Unk, there's some kind of our text line, the algorithm is like, no, we want your text, but apparently not your email address. I don't know. So keep going. Just keep firing it off. We want as many people as we can get in this bad boy. 888-530-0043. It's the whole show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Several teams, one goal, win it all. Hear high school basketball playoffs on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Groovy right there, Angel. Good work. Good work. Poll question of the day available at thewholeshow.com. Best move so far by Nuggets GM Calvin Booth, who we are still efforting to get on the program, hoping we can get him next week. Signing Bruce Brown, the Will Barton Monte Morris trade that brought in KCP. I know Ish Smith was a part of that too, but trading away Bones Highland, removing the perhaps the brewing drama factor there with Bones, signing Reggie Jackson, or the trade for Thomas Bryant. Yeah, Angel, I'm not going to put in the Nikola Jokic signing. That's got to be the easiest superstar contract anybody's ever had in the history of the world. So I can't give him credit for that. You could have signed that deal.
Yeah, I mean, you win two MVPs in a row, it's kind of just,
Well, and he wanted to be here. So there was no, like, I want to go elsewhere. You know you're giving him the max, max, max contract. That's it.
He's earned it.
He's earned it, and it's an easy contract. So I can't really give him credit for that. So what do you think's the best move so far?
I think it's the Bones Highland move, just given the context of that entire situation and the awareness of Calvin Booth to understand where this team is at right now, understanding the players that they have, the coaching staff they've put together, and how successful this team has been this year. You have to do everything in your power to make that path as easy as possible. And if that means to get rid of one of your young stars who is creating tension in the locker room with possibly some of your veterans, it's best to just separate.
Yeah, and there's this take going on that it's like, everybody loved Bones a month ago. Now what changed? It's like, well, fans were given information. Information changes. If you are told, all you see is the great, you know, puppies and kittens stuff from Bones Highland, and it's fun, and he's an okay player and all that stuff, then there's no reason to dislike him. But then when you start seeing the news and you see his responses to things and how he tweeted a few things out and didn't even acknowledge Jamal Murray in a question about Joker and Jamal Murray, those things come out. So what changed? Information. We were given more information about Bones Highland.
I was one of Bones' biggest fans.
Absolutely,
like,
you were.
I love that dude and everything he was doing for Denver, but my opinions changed on him a little bit. I still like him as a person and a player. But his attitude towards the team was not healthy.
No, it wasn't. And that's what changed. You got more information about this guy. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Leading in the clubhouse so far is the Will Barton, Monte Morris trade that brought in KCP. I mean,
it's not big in terms of getting what you got back. It was what you got rid of in those two pieces that guys were, you know, almost cornerstones of this organization the last few years. But you had to move on from them because they weren't giving you what you needed.
You liked Monte Morris, but if it meant bringing in KCP and being able to offload Will Barton, then you were good with it. That's, you know, that's where it was. I still think the signing of Bruce Brown was big. Now, I didn't put drafting Christian Brown yet because that's not going to be up there as one of the big moves yet. You got to wait and see how his career goes here.
When did the transition happen? Like May or June?
Yeah. Yeah, so he drafted Christian Brown.
Okay.
So he was a part of all that stuff. He did sign Joker. That was his first task, actually, was to sign Nikola Jokic, which was pretty easy, man. I mean, again, all right, 32 minutes after the hour. We got Zach Stevens coming up next. Let's talk Broncos. How did they do in this weird little report card thingy that came out about all the NFL teams? We'll talk about that. Javonte Williams, the realistic. Is that really realistic? To assume he's going to be back to start the season. George Payton seems to think so. We'll talk about that next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Game beer of the week, courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor, is from Left Hand Brewing. It's a peanut butter milk stout. Also, they've got their tasting happening this Friday from Loveland Ale Works. Well, they'll be on hand at On the Rocks from 4 to 7. And then Saturday, Fistful of Bourbon, 5 to 7. Great tastings happening at On the Rocks Liquor right off of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue here in Greeley. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, a man that I'd like to sit down and have a buttermilk stout with at some point, or a fistful of bourbon, either way, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, how are you?
Brady, I'm doing great. Just got back from the combine where we spoke to George Payton and Sean Payton, and man, it's crazy. The coaching staff just finished up, and now we're just a week away from free agency, pretty much.
Yeah, so the combine, of course, you were on hand there. A lot of what we've been talking about is the comments from George Payton, from Sean Payton. But before we get into that, Zach, what stood out to you? Players, I mean, guys that really piqued your interest that maybe you know also this coaching staff is looking at?
Well, a lot of drama going on yesterday.
Yes.
At the combine. Of course, the top pick sent home from the combine, then now he's back now. I don't think it's really going to impact the Broncos because Jalen Carter's probably not going to fall all the way to the third round after this. But that's kind of been the drama of the combine. It always happens, or it seems to always happen once every couple of years where something like this happens in just a terrible situation. But that's kind of been the news and the talk from the combine this week. But when it comes to the Broncos, of course, they don't have a pick until the third round, and I found it very interesting and bold in a way of George Payton to say the sweet spot of this draft is the top five picks in the third round. Coincidentally, Brady, the Broncos have two picks in the top five picks of the third round. I found that, you know, a lot of times, pretty much every time, every coach and GM around the league boosts their picks up and makes them seem really good. But this is maybe the biggest spin job that I've ever seen happen. But to me, Brady, no excuses then. But George Payton has been able to find some starters and good players in the third rounds over the past couple of years. Now that you're saying that is where the sweet spot is, you better get two starters from those two guys.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, everything we've heard so much over the last 2 years is about George Payton and his ability to draft and find guys, perhaps in these later rounds or at least on day two, day three. So we're going to see it. And then, of course, you pair that in with Sean Payton and his philosophy. Maybe they can get something out of this draft, and wouldn't that be something to make Broncos fans feel better? If they get good enough players where you say, hey, they're starters, and then they shine next year just a little bit, it's going to make a lot of people feel better about losing all those draft picks with Russ and, of course, Sean Payton.
Yeah, 100%, and that's where George Payton comes in. He's supposed to be really good at middle and later round draft picks, and that's exactly what the Broncos only have this year. And so that's why I think it's a fair expectation to expect two starters from this draft, on top of the fact that, Brady, we're not saying go find a starting quarterback in the third round. We're not saying go find a starting cornerback in the third round. We're not saying go find a premium position starter in the third round, such as left tackle, quarterback, safety, or cornerback, and edge rusher. No, where the Broncos really need help, especially with the potential of losing Draymond Jones, they need it at guard and center, two positions that you should easily be able to find starters in the third round, and then also defensive line. So these are positions where you can absolutely find starters in the third round, and it matches up pretty well with what the Broncos' needs are.
Yeah, no question. I was going to ask you about the Draymond Jones thing. It sounds like, you know, just too far apart. I mean, were they trying to get some kind of a deal done, Zach, or did they both just kind of go in this and say, hey, we know he's going to want more than what we're willing to do, so we're going to just go ahead and let you test free agency?
Yeah, the Broncos want Draymond Jones back. And Brady, Draymond Jones will be a good player on any football team. He is a really good football player. But Draymond Jones has made it clear for pretty much a year now. For the first time we talked to him during the Broncos offseason workout program last year, he's made it very clear how important getting the bag and getting the most money is for him. And there's nothing wrong with that. Players have all different sorts of motivations, and certainly money is an important one. I'm never going to blame a player for wanting to get the most money. But some guys are willing to take a little bit of a discount to stay with the team that drafted them and the team that they were on and a team that they're familiar with. And I do not think that is the case with Draymond Jones. And again, nothing wrong with that, but he is going to try to get top dollar. And how do you do that, Brady? Well, you either get a massive contract from the team you're with, or you get to hit the free agent market. And I expect that when he hits the free agent market, which I very much expect him to do, that he's going to get a way bigger contract than what the Broncos are willing to pay for him. It really reminds me of the Malik Jackson situation after the Broncos won Super Bowl 50. Now, a big difference there is the Broncos did sign Derek Wolfe before the offseason started, and so they got where they were allowed to keep one of those two defensive linemen. Now there's just one defensive lineman that they have, and I expect Draymond Jones to go find a bigger contract somewhere else.
Zach, so that obviously that'll be interesting to see how that works out, but new coach, new coaching staff, they're not married to him. I get it. So you're saying, though, as far as free agency and the draft, what the Broncos will probably be really looking at is both of those lines. Is that number one, number two priority, or number one, number 1B priority for the Broncos, that O-line and D-line?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's number one and number two, and I actually think there's a pretty wide margin between that. offensive line is without a doubt the Broncos' biggest priority this offseason, and I think that it's going to line up with exactly what Sean Payton believes as well. He's going to want to upgrade the offensive line, build this team from the inside out, and a big thing that Sean Payton has talked about in order to help Russell Wilson is take a lot of pressure off his shoulders, and that starts by making it so there's not a lot of pressure in his face when he's going to throw. So that's with the offensive line. And then the other thing that he's talked about is getting a good running game. Well, Broncos probably aren't going to go out and spend $15 million on a running back. So then how else do you help the running game? Well, you invest in the offensive line. So I expect for pretty much every reason that to be the Broncos' main focus. And what's crazy, Brady, is the Broncos haven't invested a draft pick in an offensive tackle since 2017 when they used the first-round pick on Garrett Bowles. That has to change this year. If it's not one of their third-round picks on a tackle, you've got to use one of the later picks on a tackle. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Broncos get three offensive linemen in this draft. You know, a center and a guard with their third-round picks and then a tackle later or some combination of that.
So of that starting line from last year, Zach, I mean, are we thinking, I mean, is it going to be Quinn Meinerz, Garrett Bowles going to survive, or are we overhauling the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly where I'm at, and from what I understand is those two guys, you pencil in, but then you kind of put it with a question mark. I wouldn't be surprised if something happens with Bowles or Quinn Meinerz. He showed a lot of flash. He showed a lot of potential, but does he fit in this system with Sean Payton? Do they try to move on from him? I expect if Quinn's on this team, he's going to be starting, but Quinn probably has the most value of any lineman on this team. So if they think that, you know, he's not the perfect fit for them, I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to move him somewhere. But I do expect that those are the two starters on the offensive line. And then you got to figure out right tackle. Then you got to figure out left guard and center as well. Dalton Reisner, obviously a name everyone's familiar with. There's still a chance that he comes back to the Broncos. But Brady, we're just about 10 days away from him hitting the open market as well. And I think he's going to be able to get $10 million plus on the open market. Do the Broncos think that he's worth that and that the money's worth spending there? Of course, I think if you can bring Dalton back on a good contract, you want him back. But he's probably not a guy that you're going to want to overpay for.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. So on the defensive side, the defensive line side of things, we're probably expecting Draymond Jones to get what he's wanting out in the free market. What do you think that starting lineup looks like? And, you know, will they get a guy? There's a couple of big name free agents out there, but maybe, like you said, they do their work in the first round. But, yeah, what's that starting lineup look like right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, you have Deshaun Williams, who's also going to be a free agent. He played really well when he got opportunities last year. I could see him being the defensive lineman they signed between he and Draymond Jones, a much more team-friendly deal, and a good defensive lineman. Obviously, someone that's not going to get a huge contract, but you feel good about him being in there. And then Uwazurike, who the Broncos drafted last year, was inactive for the first half of the season. He really started to play well at the end of the stretch there. You hope that he can take a big step up and be not just a contributor, but a starter there. And, of course, the big money guy on the defensive line for the Broncos is the other Jones, DJ Jones. The Broncos are certainly going to be relying on him, especially if they let Draymond Jones go, because he's getting paid $10 million. So he needs to live up to that, and he was very good last year.
What about on the linebacker side? I love your tweets at the end of the day of what we learned about the Broncos each and every day, and Alex Singleton certainly in that conversation. Broncos sound like they really want him back.
Yes, they absolutely do, and there's no reason to not get a deal done with him, because Alex Singleton, all he does is produce when he's on the field. George Payton called him a baller, and this should be an easy contract to get done. You look at the framework of Josie Jewell's deal last year, 2 years, $11 million, about $6 million of those dollars guaranteed. Do a very similar contract to Alex Singleton. And in fact, Brady, I think he's going to cost less than that. But if you have to give him the identical contract as Josie had, boy, I certainly think he's worth it. And if you want to keep Singleton and move on from Josie, you can move on from Josie with barely any penalty as well. So I don't think that you can let Alex Singleton walk, which is how many holes this team has. He's a guy that you know what you're going to get from him, and I expect them to get a deal done.
Zach, I don't know how much of a feel you've got, like, as far as what players think on the defensive side of Vance Joseph. You know, I know a few of those players were, maybe one or two was on that roster with Justin Simmons. I'm trying to look around. How are they feeling about VJ being the defensive coordinator? Because that was the strength of this team all season, was the defensive side. So they certainly don't want to take a step back there.
No, they don't. And I've talked to a couple of guys, and they are happy with Vance. They think he's a solid coach, respected. And when he was in Denver, the defensive players did really like him. Out in Arizona, the defensive players loved him. And they really treated him as the head coach out there in Arizona because of how much respect they had. So I think that Vance coming back, is the coaches like it, the players like it, and obviously the fans. Couldn't be more opposite from that, and it's a bold move, Brady, yeah. Especially from a fan perspective, because if things go wrong, if the defense takes a step back, boy, that's going to be the person that people point to. But not just Vance, they're going to be pointing at Sean Payton saying, this was your move. So it really is a bold move, but they just thought that at the end of the day, and Brady, what was very clear at the Combine, and Sean Payton did not try to hide it. Vic Fangio was his number one guy. That's who he wanted to be the defensive coordinator, but Vic just didn't want to come back to Denver. It was still a little too fresh being fired just 12 months ago, so that's why Vic went to Miami, and then the Broncos ended up going with Vance. So Vance was kind of their second option this time.
I mean, we all know that kind of stuff happens. You know, you interview even a head coach, and then he doesn't take the job, or he goes elsewhere, and then they got to bring in another guy and basically say, yeah, this was our guy all along. Same with the draft. We hear all that stuff. But Sean Payton's giving us, you know, breaking down that third wall, and he's opening up the media side of that. How do you think Vance feels about that? Just hearing him say, yeah, we really wanted Vic Fangio, but couldn't get him, so Vance, we got Vance Joseph. That's fine.
You know what? Vance is probably saying, at least I have another defensive coordinator job.
True.
Because Brady, he did interview for the Philadelphia Eagles job, but it was so late in the process for Vance because the Cardinals didn't let him out of his contract, didn't let him talk to other teams until after they hired Jonathan Gannon. So he was potentially looking at either a year off or a senior assistant position or having to be a position coach somewhere if he didn't get this job. So with the circumstances where they are, I think he's happy to have the defensive coordinator paycheck.
Zach, last one for you, man. George Payton talked a lot about Javonte Williams and Tim Patrick. I mean, I was excited about Tim Patrick coming back, but I just had it in my brain that maybe Javonte wouldn't be back at least by later in the season, maybe midseason, but they're pretty optimistic over there about Javonte starting the season.
Yeah, and I am pumping the brakes still a little bit on that because you're absolutely right. He did say that, you know, the expectation is he's on track to start the season. I am a lot more skeptical of that. In George's answer, he said that, but then he also said, you know, we're not really sure. I mean, he bounced around in that answer. That was the most interesting answer just because of how many different things he said within that answer, but I'm still very skeptical, Brady. What happened to his knee was not just an ACL tear, not just an MCL tear, but the LCL tear as well. All three of those are really tough to come back from, especially in less than 10 months. I'm not expecting him to be full go by the start of camp, by the start of the season. So the Broncos, just like George also said, they need to add a running back, whether that's Latavius Murray and a draft pick, whether that's investing significantly in free agency on a running back. And you know what? The Broncos are as in good of a shape as ever for really having an open running back position needing help because free agency is deep. You don't have to spend $15 million on Saquon Barkley to get a good running back. There's guys like Miles Sanders out there and guys that can come in and contribute right away, or use one of those third, fourth round picks that you have on a running back, bring back Latavius Murray, and you feel pretty good. But we're going to see how they treat this in free agency, Brady. If they go out and sign a big time running back, then that's really bad news for what they truly think of Javonte Williams' injury. If they don't, and it's a $1 million deal for Latavius and bringing in a fifth-round pick, then that will be a good sign for Javonte.
Yeah. No, I think read the tea leaves. That's what we can see from this, and that will tell us a lot of how they really view this. Zach, my man, always great work from you. We absolutely love getting your insight each and every week, especially when you're running around at these great events like the Combine and such. So we'll look to catch up with you next week, and we'll see what progresses between now and then.
Let's do it. There's going to be a lot. The Broncos are always keeping themselves in the news.
All right, my man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, 11:51 the time. We'll come back. We'll react to Zach's comments on this roster and what it looks like going forward and how they feel about Vance Joseph. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's really bad news. We kind of saw last night and into the morning for the Rockies. Their Gold Glove second baseman, Brendan Rodgers, season's likely over really before it starts. And then left-handed reliever Lucas Gilbreth is likely facing Tommy John surgery, which would wipe out his season, too. So a double whammy for the Rockies there. And I know Brendan Rodgers was one we had talked about. Really, I think Jerry talked about him last week, about him really maybe being one of the guys that could step up. But he dislocated that left shoulder in the Cactus League game. And that I hate preseason injuries. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett's probably out there like, see what happens when you do this?
Do we really need an entire month of spring training?
No!
Like, just get let the pitchers go and just throw to a wall or something.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a lot. They do a lot of spring training. Like I said, they play a lot of baseball before they play a lot of baseball. Right. These guys are playing so much. You got to love this game, man. But unfortunate news for Brendan Rodgers. Eastside Chris on the text line. Sounds like Tanner's bus ride just got shorter. Rodgers going down with a shoulder injury. I mean, whether you had expectations for the Rockies or not, he was one of those pieces. If you thought they were going to be a decent team, you wanted to see him do well this season.
Yeah, and the Rockies bus doesn't stop because of injury.
No.
We just keep on rolling.
So you guys are, in fact, firing that up?
Yeah, I talked to Tanner. We went down to the shop the other day just to go check on it. It's a little dusty, so we got to clean it up first, and then we'll get back to work.
So they're firing it up, the Rockies bus. Back to the let's go to the playoffs. Let's get it going. All right, second hour, we got the Lunch Rush. We got Nuggets assistant coach Popeye Jones. We got Perkins, not the restaurant, Kendrick Perkins drama still going on and what it means right now for the state of sports talk, for the state of basketball talk. All that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.